You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. And we shared together last time, Sunday in that, we need to understand how to go forward. And David is a grand example for us. The Lord is his shepherd. He doesn't want worry or anything else. And as he goes down the corridor of time, he is walking in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. And his target, verse 6, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, as long as his target is clear, we share together at some length to exercise, to understand that as we, wherever we are headed, that is going to become behind. The present is going to become the past. And if we're going down the wrong road, as we get down the wrong road and look back, it's still the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. Behind you is the wrong road. If you're looking to the right road to go down that road, then as you look behind you, you're on the right road. And that's the whole ball game. David is able to proceed. And where's he headed? We shared it at length, remember? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every single moment and day of his life evaporated, disappeared into the next day. And he was closer and closer and closer, like Romans 13, to his destination. To what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What was the motivation for his movement? It was to dwell with God, to look to God, to honor God, and for God's wonderful working in his life. And as he goes down the corridor of time, he's on the road, that road. It isn't any given day or any given circumstance or situation or period of history. All David's times were in God's hands, so it wouldn't make any difference. So he goes down. But the motivation every day yields the next day, and the next day, and the next day, because he's going to the same destination. And when he goes down that road, we shared, that's where, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going down the right road for the right reasons. I'm not caught up in any given week or month or year of my life. I'm caught up in the ultimate destination, and everything is moving me a day at a time to that destination. And therefore, goodness and mercy follow me. So if I'm on the wrong thinking, if I'm in the world, we share that, and I'm pursuing whatever, then what the world is behind me, and it isn't goodness and mercy in the full sense, is following me. No, the world's following me. The world's in front of me, and the world's behind me. And I'm going down the road to retire with all these different things we do, to solve and resolve the problems of our society and our globe. And that's what's behind us. Yesterday news is behind us. We're living with it. So, having that reminder, so let's exercise David. Is a wonderful thought. But in doing so, John chapter 12, you would remember, if I may, in John chapter 12, verse 26, our Lord said, if, and you may or may not, third class, may or may not do it, if any man, woman, boy, or girl, serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So if I'm going down the corridor and I'm going to follow the Lord, then that's where I'm going to be. I'm looking for God's will to be outworked, and that's how it's going to go, because that's what I'm looking for. And we go down. Now, exercising that, over to, if you would, to Numbers. Numbers, if I may, in chapter 13. Picking up, please. And you will note, the 12 spies were sent to explore the land, spy the land, to see what it was like as they go from Kadesh Barnea northward into Palestine. And the spies did what they did, as you're familiar with, and they reported back. And in the report back, Caleb and Joshua, chapter 13, verse 30, Caleb and Joshua stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. Why? For we are well able to overcome." So Joshua and Caleb followed instructions, and they spied out the land and brought back the report and understood that God had given a green light to go forward. And that's what they're going to do. They have no question. It was God's will to go into the land, and that's what they did. The ten others, influenced the rest of the whole people of Israel, the whole of them, except for Moses, of course, that Aaron, and influenced them. And so they did not follow through. Joshua and Caleb knew the direction to go forward, and the rest of the people of Israel refused to go forward. You know, they had all the excuses in verse 32, when they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature, giants like Goliath. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were as we were in their sight. So we were foolish. We were nothing to them. And so they just didn't go. They were to follow. Now, since they didn't follow, as you know, chapter 14, and they didn't follow, they all wept, etc., verse 1, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" And they had no interest at all of going forward. Not a drop. Not a drop. Now, the point. Here's Joshua and Caleb, as you know. So when you go down to verse 8, I'll even read verse 7. Joshua and Caleb. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, Joshua and Caleb, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And only rebel not against the Lord." God had given a green light to go forward. "Neither fear ye the people," neither don't be afraid, giants or chariots of iron or anything else, "the people of the land, for reason, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." In other words, the giants are no problem at all. The big old giants that shake their fist at us are nothing. And when we come, they're all going to back down. They're all going to lose. That's Caleb and Joshua. They understood God's will to go forward, the obstacles, the opponents, everything else in front of them was no problem. There was no such thing as a mountain like in Zechariah. There's no such thing as a mountain that's in the way of God's will. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, over if you would to chapter 14 and the point. What is the truth that of this whole illustration? Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, said God, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed, there's your little word, followed, to go behind, to come after. In verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, a different kind, he isn't like them, a spirit of unbelief, etc., with him, and he hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, God, what are you saying? Here's the expression, the verb. He's going to follow fully. In full way, he's going to follow. Now, following fully means it's intensive. He's going to keep on following. He's going to roll up his sleeves. He isn't doing it in a passive way or a casual way. He's really into this thing. He's really into going after God, not like David is. Going after God, so he's following fully. Full, the word fully means to be full, to follow one completely. He was totally devoted to what he was doing, following God as close as he could, going down the corridor of time. That's what he was doing. He was going to do so. And he did so with great zeal and zest to go forward. And having gone forward and going forward, he's going to go in such a way that he and Joshua are going to end up, when they go into the land, God is going to bless them. He blesses them all the way to the end of their life. Why? Because they followed God. And even when Caleb was 85 years old, etc., he wanted to take the mountain that God, and God said, take it. Everything that you do, I'll bless you. I'll bless you going in, I'll bless you going out. And that's what God did with these men. Why? Because they followed closely. Now, David, here you are. Now, David, did you learn anything from the past, from all of these dear people, from Joshua and Caleb? You certainly knew about them. What did you learn? Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, you are going to recall, David is going to help us. And I'll read verse 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord thy God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler or shield. And the horn, like a horn on an animal, offensive weapon, defensive, honoring horns, honor the animal. And the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, God, you're going to be all of those things to me as I go down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way. And David knew that. That's what he's doing. He was walking in the valley of the shadow of death, but surely goodness and mercy was following right behind him. And we shared all of those things together, mercy in that, to understand God's magnificent care in the miserable, miserly misery that we live in our humanity, and we don't even know it. That's why God is merciful. And that's why God's, as we shared, always merciful. So we don't ask him to help us with this. We can do all that. But God be merciful. Take care of my moments that are in desperate need of your help and care and mercy. to come to my rescue, be my ally, etc. Chapter 18, sliding over if I can, to verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, as he is a buckler, a shield, to all those that trust in him, God. For who is God like? Who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? God is God. There's no other safe place to be. Verse 32. It is God that giveth me strength, girdeth me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. That's how he's going to go. David's going forward, and David's going to go and look to God, and God's going to help him get through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Next month, he's going to keep going because he's headed to the house of God. He's going to God. So he's going. Where are we going? If we're saved, we're going home. We're here. Every hours are going to go by, but we're headed there. Or aren't you? That's what you're doing. Say, no, I'm not. I'm headed to work. That's true. But then work's going to evaporate. And next week's going to disappear. And next month's going to disappear. And the global situation's going to disappear for us. And we're going. Going on. Having said that, now, in verse chapter 18, picking up, please, in verse 32 again. It is God that girdeth me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. Now, God, David, what are you doing? Well, God set my feet. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. A female deer, female small deer, with some only 3 feet high sometimes. And the deer is very swift, very agile, and can jump from rock to rock to rock. You've seen them sometime in filming them. Watch them. They just jump flawlessly. Just jump because they're agile. Wow. David, God maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He makes my feet like the female deer. So I have great agility. A great movement. God, how are you walking, David? Well, I'm walking in the valley of darkness. But by the way, every step I take, God is behind me in mercy and goodness to keep me to take the next step. How am I going to get to where I'm going? God is helping me get there. That's what God told me to go to. God told me to go there. God's waiting for me there. So I'm going to go down the corridor. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm doing. And God, if that's where God wants you, that's where you're what? Going to get. That's where you're going. That's all. Now, having said that little bit, He causes my feet. Makes my feet like hind feet. The deer, like a deer's feet. Wow. And the deer is going and moving forward. And David, as you're going with hind's feet, so you aren't going slowly, you aren't meandering, you aren't daydreaming. No, David said, I'm full vent in moving forward to that destination. And so that's how I get through Monday and Tuesday, work, home, school, easy, hard, little, much, right and wrong, every other dumb thing that we face. God, that's how we get there. So now, having said that, you'll notice the end of verse 33. He sets me firmly. On what place? He sets my feet. And where? The heights. It says mine high places. Or height, elevation. He sets me up high. Set me up high. He sets me up high. Wow. So here he is looking to get up there. And so in the process, as he sets him up high, and God sets his feet there, and to set securely, it's causative. To set my feet, to be extended, my feet. to make firm my feet, to establish my feet, to lock me in. So I'm going. Are you going with shaking? No. Each time I put my foot down, boom, and boom, I'm not shaking. My feet are firmly on the ground. They're locked in. Are you worried about slipping? No. No, David will say that elsewhere, won't he? God, you keep my feet from slipping. And so here we are moving now. So, having said that, my high seat, being so high and wonderful, God has set me on my high places, my heights. Now, God, now why would you say that, David? Are you going to be a mountain climber? Are you going to go to the Alps? What do you want to do? Why would you say, my high places? Why? Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you're going to recall the blessings and the cursings, but you want to note, if I can, where, God, are you going to put my feet? My feet are going to be firmly fixed on my high places. So God, you're going to bless Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 6. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. So however you go, wherever you go, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're moving down the corridor. That's what you're doing. And if you move down there, I'm going to bless you going. I'm surely going to submerge you behind me, said David, and it's in front of me. So, God, am I going to get there? Am I going to get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Absolutely. That's where I'm going. It's impossible to miss it. I just don't want to lose the target and get sidetracked, deterred, and go on the wrong road. Because then when I look behind me, I don't see the right road. Right now, I go, how do I know I'm on the right road? Because I'm headed to God, and the confirmation is God behind me is going to make sure I get there. Surely goodness and mercy are going to get me there. I know I'm on the right road. I can't understand everything. I don't know how to help or fix anything so much, but I know I'm on the right road. That's what I know. And that's what I'm going to do. So whatever today is, it yields to tomorrow, and I keep going. Now, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, what? That the Lord thy God shall set thee, remember we just read, set my feet, shall set thee on high, high, on high, above all the nations of the earth. Now what did Moses know? What were the people of Israel to know? And what did David know? Because they knew. You can't be blessed going in and going out, because you're going to be blessed going in and going out, because the Lord has got a course and set your feet are set to go forward, Joshua and Caleb, all the way, no matter what, all those men die in the wilderness, over 600,000 all die, because they didn't believe. But, not them, nope, yep, straight on, because they got the right direction, they're looking to God, following God in his will, in his way, in his word, and they're going to make it. David, here's Israel. Israel is promised to be blessed going in and blessed and going out. And the end of verse 1, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. God has set thee on high. Now, what do we know? Without turning there and back, what do you know about Israel? Well, you know that Exodus 19 and verse 4, 5, and 6, what is Israel? Israel is God's nation. It's God's people. God has chosen them to be the vehicle to reach all the nations, plural. So the nation is to be the influence and testimony to the nations. And God has done that. So Israel is prized. They are above, without reading there again, they are above all nations and all people. Why are they above? Above all nations. Because they're God's choice to be the testimony. If you didn't understand that, Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem, Judea, is God's choice. It's God's choice. And when God chooses, that's what it is now. So here we are looking, and they're going to be blessed. And the end of verse 1 again, he will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So Israel is a blessed, awesome, wonderful nation. And they are given top priority. They aren't on the low, they're at the top. Hang on to that. They're at the top. David, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to follow him for my heights. He set my feet in the course and made my feet like hinds' feet so that I can get there. Where? To the heights. Why the heights? Because that's where I belong. I belong to God. I'm headed to God. God has put me on the heights. The heights. He is the Most High God. He's my God and my Savior, we read in Psalm 18, 1 and 2, etc. He's my God and Savior, and I'm running the race. My feet are like hinds' feet, set, so I don't have to slip. I don't have to get deterred. I don't have to get sidetracked. I don't have to lose it. No matter what, I can overcome. Now, having said that, over if I can, David, what else would you have known? Over to Exodus. Excuse me, Deuteronomy. Stay in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, if I can, picking up, please, in chapter 32. 32. Going, if I may, directly to verse 8. You'll get the idea. Wonderful. Now, this is David. Remember, David, you and I are reading this. Well, David could have not read it. And David took it. He didn't mess around. He said, that's my God that did this. Did what? Deuteronomy chapter 32, picking up in verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. In other words, Genesis 10, everyone gets everywhere, and God has Palestine. That's God's place for Israel. There is no other place. You can't put Israel now or ever in New York City. Israel belongs in Jerusalem. That is their land, period. That's their land. God gave it to them. All the people have different land, different things, but that's their land, Israel's land. Now, having said that, now, what do you mean it's special? Israel is special. They know the Most High God. Verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him, that's Israel, Moses. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. And we just read that with Joshua and Caleb. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, of God's eye. The apple, think of that elsewhere. That's the little black pupil. That's what I keep trying to get fixed here. The black pupils, that's where you see. The apple. You all have apples. You all have apples. God said, and that's very sensitive. The apple, that's what you see. Now, the rest of the eye helps, of course, but that's where you see from. That's where it all gets in and gets out. Wow. So God, the apple, And God said, you know, when you look at Israel, are you sensitive, God? Uh-huh. Because you see, they are as my apple, as my eye. Interesting. God said, Israel is like my pupil in my eye. I'm very, very sensitive to them. And God says that about his people, doesn't he? They're the apple of his eye. Highly sensitive. That makes it, you want to get, how personal is it? That's pretty personal. Therefore, that's just the beginning. In verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Remember, as the eagle, and we did all of those things wonderfully. And those eagle takes them, finally the little birdies are ready to fly, and they look off at the cliff, and it's a long way down. And they aren't interested in doing. Mother can go wherever she wants, but boy, we aren't going anywhere. No, sir. And the mother tries to tell him, you know, you get out there. That's what you got, these things on the side of you, on you. That's why they're all full of feathers, so you can grow. Go, and they don't understand that. So therefore, she puts them on her own wing, her own back, and brings them up, and then lets them go. They don't have any choice but to start moving their wings, to start flying. God, that's what God does. He says, this is enough. That's how they went to Kadesh Barnea. God said, it's enough you've been down here at Mount Sinai. It's time to move. And he moved them. How did they get out of Egypt? God moved them. God made the move. Wow. So, God, you move Israel. That's right, you move Caleb, Joshua. The rest of them missed out. David, you aren't going to miss out. Nope. And verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the what, dear friends? The high places. That's what he did. He made Israel. He's the Most High God. When you serve the Most High God, he's in the top. The Lord Jesus said, John 12, where I am, my servant is. Wherever I am, the top, the Most High God. They're the special. Uh-huh. Verse 13 again. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck, and that's to get honey, to be so much of it. You just breathe, draw it in, suck honey out of the rock, oil olive trees all over the place, of the flinty rock. God did all of that. Wow, that's what he did. Made them ride in the high places. Joshua, did Joshua and Caleb understand that? They did. David, you read it. We're reading it. Do we understand it? And if you didn't get that part, go to the next thing, chapter 33. How is Moses going to end? How is God going to have the Deuteronomy end? How does the Lord end when you come to Revelation 22? Even so, come. I'm coming. God, you're going to keep. We don't understand. God said, do you understand? What's your target out there? Is your target my will, my way, my word, my glory, my honor? Is that what you're going for? Then that's what you're going to get. That's right, you got to go through all of that, but you're going to be followed by goodness and mercy as you go. And so here's Israel, and they're going to cross the Jordan and do good, and then they're going to have doing that which is right in their own eyes, judges. Deuteronomy chapter 33, picking up if I can in verse 26. There is none like unto God, unto the God of Jehoram. Jehoram means the upright one. Israel is upright, the righteous one. Israel is God's righteous, shows, represents God's righteousness. There is none like unto the God of Jehoram, who rideth upon the heavens, plural. In thy help, God, here we are, and God, where do you come? Like a great movement. God said, I move in the heights for you. I'm moving for you. Wherever I need to be, I'm moving for you. God. You're moving in the heavens to help them. Uh-huh. His excellency, his majesty, his faithfulness on the sky. God, when you move, are you going to come to my rescue? Absolutely. I'm moving. Where are you moving from? The sewer? The basement? No, I'm moving from the heights. I'm the Most High God. I'm the top. I'm moving it all in your direction. Any way I need to do, I move it. I'm the sovereign God, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, he said. Therefore, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. The enemy, no problem with giants, chariots of iron, none whatsoever. Verse 28, Israel shall dwell in safety alone. The fountains of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and his heavens shall drop down dew. The heavens, whose heavens? Israel, God's heavens, Israel. Who owns this? God does. Who's in charge up here? God is. When you look up at the sky, who's in charge of the moon, the sun, the planets? God is. Aha. And sliding my hand. Verse 29, happy art thou, blessed, to go straight, to go forward is the word. To go forward, prosper, to do the things rightly, to be successful, to move forward. David's going forward, walking in the valley of the shadow of death, headed to his destination is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, followed by mercy and goodness, God of gods. So here's the word, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel. Hang on to that. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, God, you're there to protect them, keep them in every way. And who is the sword of thy excellency? God, where does this majestic wonderment come from? From God, his sword. The excellent, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread, walk with your feet firmly fixed, as hinds feet, as the female deer. You shall tread upon their high places, and the world will do what it does and says what it does. But God wins when it's done. You say they did easy. God was crucified on Calvary's cross, and the world did its worstest and its mostest, and they lost. In winning, they lost. That's why God tells you to reckon yourself dead indeed. I'm a loser. No. Start there. You're a winner all the time. If you understand, you're dead. I died for you so you could live. And no one can touch that. Israel, David, do you understand that? Uh-huh, I do. Hinds feet. And you're going to have great victory. So there's no one, no obstacle, no opponents, etc. Opposition that's going to be able to get in the way. No, none whatsoever. So God, that's how Moses is going to end. Now, I'm interested. History goes on, and we travel through history, And history goes, and Israel gets Assyrian captivity and Babylonian captivity, and all of those things go down, and we come to Ezra and Nehemiah, and they try to build the temple, a little somewhat of a temple to be something, not like Solomon's, but something, and they come. Now God, now how is it going to end? Malachi. And in Malachi, and you will notice, please, in Malachi in chapter 3, I want you to notice a word. May I go directly to verse 14, 3 and 14. You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, his word, his commandment, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? It didn't pay to follow God, but it did. David and Joshua and Caleb said that. David says that. But it doesn't pay. But look at all the people all the Israelites, all of the whole nation. Applauded the 10, thumbs down in the 2. The 2 make it, the rest of them don't. Pretty easy. The world crucified Christ, and God is going to judge the world. You don't win. Oh, we're gonna win. Look at all the people that think like I do, feel like I do. Hang on, now. So therefore, and I want you to note, please, in verse 15. And now we call the proud, the obstinate, happy. Now why happy? Because you just read in Deuteronomy 33, 29. Happy is Israel. Blessed is Israel. Successful is Israel. Prosperous is Israel. Ah! But at the end, what did you rascals do, Israel, the people? Now we call the proud happy. Remember, good is replaced with evil, and light is replaced with darkness, and bitter with sweet. Here it is, upside down. What are we going to do? We're going to call the proud happy, happy and blessed. Yet they have worked wickedness, and they that work wickedness is set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And so they're giving a wrong message. You don't need God, you don't need to honor God, you don't need to think about God. You can do it. It's easy as pie for our old nature. But boy, do we pay for it. Do we pay for it. Now, so having said that, and keeping that, if you would, to the forefront, over to Psalm 91. Oh, before I do that, at least a little. Do you understand what you're up against? Go with me, please, over to Amos and chapter 4 for a moment. You weren't far away. Amos chapter 4. And let me just point it out. You know it. Amos chapter 4. I mean, I pick up and what I want you to compare, you'll catch it, Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this is the 10 tribes in the north, unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You are headed for judgment. Are you ready to meet me? Verse 13. For lo, he that formed the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts is his name. He's the one in charge. Where, oh David, where are you going to go? To the high places. Where do we live? In the high places. We aren't supposed to live in the sewer, in the basement. We're supposed to be living in the high places. We're supposed to be honoring God. That's why it's so easy. And that's why it's so, at the same time, it's terribly hard, because our old nature doesn't want to do that. We just don't want to believe like that. And we don't. Not people don't. I just don't believe. Now, having said that little bit, the high places, and God, over to one of the places where I think of Isaiah. And you'll see it. The high places are the places where they go to worship. They don't worship the Most High God. Why do they go to the high places? Genesis 11, the tower in the city, up to the sky, worship. Why do we go to high mountains? The closer you get to God, closer. Got to get off the ground, off the mud, up into the heights. Isaiah and chapter 58. Picking up, please, in verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own word. In other words, you're honoring God from top to bottom. Result, verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll cause you to be wonderfully overcomer, and everything that would knock you down, I'm going to lift you up, and your heart is going to be full. So when you're in the prison camp, the bamboo prisons, those terrible things, you're a winner. You're bound, but you're free. You're a winner. But you have to see that. Otherwise, all you see is the boundary and the bamboo. I need to see where I'm headed. This isn't my place, this cage. No, it's where I'm going. And that's what keeps me alive, keeps me going. Now, having said that, over if you would please to Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, picking up, if I may, this is Moses, Psalm 91, Moses. Moses wrote, he was the penman. Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Moses up and down that mountain 40 days and 40 nights in the middle of Mount Sinai, way up at the top, in the middle of the fire. In the middle of the fire, that's right. No problem. No, Moses, did you know what you were talking about? Absolutely. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Wow. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Sliding over to verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Where are you trusting? I'm trusting the Most High God to get me into the place where he is. In my Father's house and many mansions, I'm sending you there. I'm waiting for you. We shared it on Sunday. I'm waiting for you to get there. So I'm waiting for it. In fact, I'm going to come and take you there pretty quick. So therefore, if I can, Psalm 9, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. God, that's what you want to know. Is that where you're trusting? Yep, the Most High. On my feet, a hind's feet. Where do you operate? I operate in the high place. I operate under the supervision and the wonderful mercy and grace of the Most High God, whom we serve with all our heart. Aha, wow. Now, thus, go one more. Wait, verse 14. because he has set his love upon me. Because we've done that, we're looking to God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him, how low? I will set him on high. Are you going to do that, God? That's what I, where do you want me? On the high place. That's why I gave hinds feet. That's why you're following me. That's why you got a target. That's why you're running the race. That's why you're going. I'm going to put you there. But I bless you going in, I bless you going out. That's Israel. Oh, verse 14. Because he had left, set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God, here we are looking at the Most High in a most wonderful way. Wow. Wow. That's an awesome thing, God. I got to quit. I wish I had a little more. But I'll do one thing, though, to give you a head start. Over, if you would, to Ephesians in closing. Hope you got a little bit. It isn't hard. You just have to understand how it's supposed to work. And you do it. That's all. So don't do it. Well, then you don't have it. I talk to people. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't want to talk about it. That's fine. That's fine. I think it's a wonderful thing. Okay. Ephesians. Ephesians, if I can. Oh, all kinds of places. Ephesians, and in chapter, that which you know. Well, we'll go right over to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Remember Deuteronomy 28, 1, 2, 3. Blessed going in, blessed going out. And God's going to bless us from the high places. The Most High God's going to do it. Verse 3, blessed be the Lord God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not earthly, not a dollar bill or anything else. With all spiritual blessings, and where is he blessing us? In heavenly places in Christ. That's where he's doing it. And if you understand that and believe that and enjoy that, you have to enjoy God to enjoy that. Wonderful thing. God, where am I going to get everything? From the high place. Where am I supposed to operate? My feet are made for high feet. God saved you for high places. God saved you to know him, the Most High God, so that you can be Most High God on planet Earth. Your feet are here. Your heart is with God. But you're walking down the valley of the shadow of death, and surely goodness's mercy is going to follow you. That's the way it is.